Thank you for coming. God bless you. Those of you who are able, can we kneel for prayer?
Thank you, Lord, for this privilege to be here. Thank you for each person that has come today. We just want this song we just sang to be our daily testimony. Every day will I bless thee. Lord, we would want to be a peculiar people for you. Want to be separated unto good works. We want to be your people, Lord. Help us as we look at your word today to gain some understanding, gain some encouragement, some exhortation, some wisdom that we may not have had before. We pray that you would help us to love one another with a true heart fervently. Help us, Lord, to love the good and hate the evil in this world. We'd cleave unto the Lord our God. Help us, Father, in this new year before us, that we would not regret how we have lived this next year. Lord, help us. Pray that you would bless the ones that are not able to be here today. Pray for Brother Joseph Stolter, that you would continue to put your healing touch upon him. Father, we just pray that you would restore him 100% to full health, that he could again come and worship with the brethren here in the congregation, lift up Stephen and Daisy in Peru. You would be with them and other believers that are in other parts of the country, Africa, Asia, India, South America, Canada, wherever they are reaching out for your name's sake. And also, we pray that your name could be glorified through this service today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Good to see smiling faces. Maybe some of us are a little tired from staying up over the new year, but praise God. What I felt laid on my heart to share is something to do with this title, New Year's Revival. New Year and Revival. Why don't you all turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 to get started with the message. Hebrews chapter 12 starts out saying, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." If you can just imagine with me, right now, this very minute, there is a cloud of witnesses that is witnessing what's happening here today. A cloud of witnesses. And moreover, Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of God. What an encouragement for whatever we may face each day. And as we think about New Year's revival, I was thinking of practical things in our lives that we would like to see renewed that may have fallen into decay this last year. Things that may have we might have let slip in our lives, or things that
need to be improved upon. Maybe our devotional life, maybe our family life, maybe our thought life, whatever. So may we open our hearts to God's Word. I'll ask the question, how has it been for you this last year? How's it been going for you? Are you satisfied with how your life has been going? Are there any weights or sins that are hindering you from following Jesus that you have not overcome? Are there any relationship problems in your home that need some renewal? Young people, how has your commitment this past year been to be under authority of your parents? How's that been? How has your commitment been to purity this last year? How has your determination been to follow Jesus with all your heart? Are you determined to do that? Or is it sort of a half-hearted thing? How has your respect been for others speaking into your life? Talking to all of us, how has our love been for our fellow man? For our brothers and sisters in the Lord? We're talking about New Year's revival. As we reflect upon the last year and look forward to the next, let's turn our hearts to the Lord. Just a little definitions of this title. New simply means recently begun as the new year. Something new. We like things new, don't we? Things new are really exciting, you know. Year. This period comprehends what are called the 12 calendar months, or 365 days, 5 hours and 49 minutes. Within a small fraction, but in popular usage, the year consists of 365 days and every fourth year of 366, a day being added to February on account of the 5 hours and 49 minutes. Sort of a detailed explanation of what a year is. And look at the word revival. See what revival means. Return, recall, or recovery to life from death. Or apparent death. Recall, return, or recovery from a state of neglect, obscurity, or depression. To be renewed and more active, giving attention to religion and awakening of men to their spiritual concerns. That's what I'm intending to do by God's help today, is to awaken us more to what concerns our spiritual life. So as we're talking about this renewing, I won't ask for a raise of hands, but I'm sure there are things that we can tell about our own lives that may have fallen into disrepair this last year. Maybe thought life, maybe devotion, maybe family. I'll let the Lord show you those things. Okay, let's talk about our first point. I want to talk about a peculiar people. Peculiar simply means a special people, a different people. This word is found several times in the Bible. And God is, let me read the definition of peculiar. It's talking about exclusive property, that which belongs to a person in exclusion of others. Wow. My wife is my peculiar wife. She doesn't belong to anyone else. Amen. And that's what God's looking for. He's looking for a peculiar people. A people that are His, no one else's, no other God, no, they won't serve anybody but Him. Peculiar people. Here's a little poem called God's Temple. No place for worldliness, No place for greed. No place for selfishness. No place for creed. No place for gossiping. No place for lust. Chapel of charity. Temple of trust. Shrine of sincerity. Church of the just. Nave of security. Cantery of needs. Altar of purity. Minister of deeds. Hall of humility. Foe of despair. Kirk of tranquility. Bethel of prayer. Grant that my body, Lord, holy may be, ever in thought and word, just this for thee. A peculiar people. Amen. That's the first point we're going to look at. 1 Corinthians, you can turn there if you want to. 1 Corinthians 6 brings this out pretty clearly. The end of the chapter, verse 19 says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Wherefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You say, "Joel, I already know that." I think everything I say today you already know. But I want to just remind us again, as we think about New Year's revival, that we are God's property. Our body belongs to Him. We do not own ourselves. And so because we don't own ourselves, God's the one who tells us what we can and can't do. And what a blessing. What a freedom to just serve Him. Amen. Now, I have a question. Have we been living this past year with this in mind? Have we been living every day knowing that we are God's possession? Good thought for me. If we can keep this before our mind every day, we will be a peculiar people. Amen. My body is a temple, a vessel that belongs to God, my Creator. We do not belong to ourselves. We cannot set the rules or say what we think is right or wrong. We belong to God, our Creator. We are talking about being a special people for God. Now let's turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're going to look at some Old Testament, God's heart for His people. God has always had a heart for a special people. Throughout the whole Old Testament, New Testament, God's heart is to have that special people that will serve Him regardless. And here in chapter 7, He gives instructions of what the children of Israel were supposed to do when they came into the land of Canaan. And we don't go and fight with our physical warfare like they did. But if we can get some spiritual good out of this chapter as to what our heart should be to fight the spiritual warfare. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 7. "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shalt thou deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself
above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage. Got this thing in my way here. Bondman, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God will keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He also will bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thy kine and thy flocks of thy sheep, in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of these evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods. For that will be a snare unto thee, if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I. How can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but thou shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, the mighty hand and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they are left. Until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you a mighty and a terrible, mighty God and terrible, and the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee, but the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their names from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. The graven images of their gods ye shall burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. I don't know if you noticed in this chapter some of the main points he was driving home here, but the point is that they're a special people, and that because they're a special people, this is what they need to do with wickedness: destroy it, get rid of it. And that's same for us today. We'll get further in the message. Our second point here, we'll touch more on that. But what do you do when you're faced with evil and wickedness? He warns them different places that beware lest there is something in your heart that desires after the evil. Beware of that. I think we need to be aware of that too. Lest there is a small thing in there that desires wickedness or desires something that's not right. We need to utterly destroy that thought in our heart. Okay. There's another verse in Deuteronomy 14. Says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Just rephrasing a little bit what we just read. Now you can turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Read a few verses there. As we're looking at our second point, a peculiar people. It appears like Brother Peter here knew his Bible, because he quotes some of the same words here. 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let's go on down to verse 9. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. It's not only Old Testament, it's New Testament. Amen. God wants us to be a special people. Isn't that a privilege? Isn't that a privilege? It's not a have to. It's a privilege. Amen. It's something that anybody that believes and has faith can have. It's free for all. Okay. Now let's look at our second point. First point, we talked about a peculiar people. Second point, let's look what God wants us to be separate from. And get practical on this. Look at some practical points. What God wants us to be separate from. Then our third point, we're going to look at what we need to be separate unto. So this next point is going to be quite a bit of negative content. Because, you know, there's a lot of evil out there. A lot of wickedness in the world we live in. And God is calling us to be separate from evil. Just another verse there in 2 Peter, which I didn't read, verse 11, it says, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. That's good instructions for us. What are some of these lusts that we face nowadays? We live in a very wicked world. We might be sheltered somewhat more in this community, but our world is very wicked, following after the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. The advertisements, the internet, the shopping malls, the magazine racks, just filled with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And God is calling us to be a special people, to be separate, to stay away from these lusts. Okay, let's turn back to the book of Joshua. Have a few, get some more thoughts here. As we were reading there in Deuteronomy chapter 7, God told them they were not supposed to marry the heathen. They were not supposed to intermarry with the heathen, with the people that weren't following God. And because he warned them, if they do, they're going to lose their faith. They're going to lose their connection with God. Here in Joshua chapter 23, Joshua was getting older and he was giving them instructions. Verse 3, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God has done unto all these nations before you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Now they're looking back upon Deuteronomy. They were more looking forward to what God was going to do. Now they're looking back what God did for them. And he goes down and explains how he divided the inheritance. In verse 6, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep all and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye come not among these nations, that these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done this day." And he keeps on elaborating on this same subject. But my point is that when we're talking about what to be separate from, to get a foundation, is that we need to take heed, and we have a choice every day. Skipping over to chapter 24, Joshua is again telling them, "Now therefore," 24 verse 14, "fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's a very familiar verse. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What I'm getting at here is when we're talking about this second point and about staying away from fleshly lusts, it is our choice. It is all of your choice every day. I can't decide for you, and you can't decide for me whether we are going to resist that evil. It's every one of our decision. Because Joshua said, "Choose you this day. Choose. Make a decision. Are you going to feed your flesh, or are you going to feed the spirit?" Okay. Now, there's another verse in the book of Joel that says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the Lord is near in the valley of decision." Lots of people are in the valley of decision. And they're not choosing the right thing. Because what you choose today will be what fruit you reap tomorrow. Especially us young people. Is that clear to you? Whatever you choose today, what decisions you make, what thing you feed in your life today is going to be the fruit you reap in the next set stage of your life. Okay, I have a little story to read. It's called "Take Heed How You Build." It goes along with this. There lived at Lockport, New York, a member of Congress who had in his home a Christian servant girl who by her industry and integrity won the esteem of the entire family. By and by, she married a shiftless, drunken carpenter and was soon supporting him by her own labors. Her former employer wished to do her some permanent good, decided to build her a house on a lot which he owned. And to encourage her husband, he assigned him the job without revealing the purpose he had in mind. The senator left for Washington, and the carpenter spun out his work through the fall, winter, and spring, cheating his employer in every way he possibly could. In both materials and workmanship, the house was a botched job from the foundation up. Yet when the senator returned in early spring, the builder informed him that the house was finished and boastfully added, "There isn't a better house on Pioneer Hill than the house of yours." "Very well," said the benefactor. "Then you go home and tell your wife to move in immediately. And here is the deed to her for the property. So you see, you will have a nice house as long as you live." The man was dazed by the sudden discovery that instead of cheating his employer, he had been cheating himself.
And as the defects of the house became more and more apparent with the lapse of time, he is repeatedly heard to say, "Oh, that I had known it was my own house that I was building." Here is the tragedy of it. Our daily deeds are the material with which we are building for eternity. What will be left of them after the purifying fires of God have been applied? My. You're building for eternity, all of us. And as we look at what things to stay away from as a peculiar people, this should give us some motivation. You're not building someone else's house. You're building your own character that's going to stay with you throughout eternity. I have just a few examples here. I might pass out. I've got a few pieces of hickory that didn't cooperate to the refining fire of God, and maybe you could pass them. I'll pass them here, and you can just go through and then put them back in the box over here. Here's some pieces of hickory that had some sin in their lives, so to speak. And if you notice some of these, if you look at the ends, they'll have a whole bunch of holes in them. And some of them look real good on the outside, but they didn't stand up to the pressure that was put on them. I have a lot more I could pass out. I'll probably just keep it with this. Once you're done, you can put them back in this box. So what I wanted to get across by passing these pieces around is you can see that the real test is when you're under pressure. The real test is when the heat is applied. And the true character on the inside comes out. Let's talk about what are you going to do when you're faced with that next carnal thought, that next fleshly lust, temptation. Here's a few verses in Numbers. "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, When ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then shall ye drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down their high places." That phrase there has caught my attention many times. Destroy all their pictures. Why do you think he told them that? I've heard say a picture speaks 1,000 words. God instructed them to destroy all the pictures of the heathen. We're dealing with a lot of that today. You ever heard of something called pornography? The first part of that word means to prostitute. The second part means to write prostitution or to show it in a picture. That's what that word means. And we are faced with much of that today. And God's command to us is to destroy it. Anytime you get your hands on it, destroy it. Burn it. Get rid of it. This is a deadly fleshly lust which will destroy your soul. Destroy it. Every time, wherever it is, get rid of it. Amen. Are we free from this? Let's think about that. Are we free from this deadly fleshly lust? This is on the pathway to hell. Many, sadly, today are bowing to the false and wicked idol of pornography.
It's just like a heathen idol. God help us. God's instruction was to destroy all their pictures. This was spoken in the context of the wicked nations and where they worship their idols and false god. That's in the context where he said destroy all their pictures. So it was something to do with the heathen worship practices, and it's all around us today. Destroy it. When you have any, if you ever get your hands on it, any chance, destroy it. Is this what you do? I challenge us, young men, young women, to be zealous for purity. Amen. Be zealous for keeping your mind pure, keeping your life pure for God. Fight for purity like you're fighting for your life. Amen. Like you're fighting for all your worth. Don't be ashamed of being radical. Don't be ashamed of being looked funny at for whatever you do. I mean, if you're in a restroom in some place and there's some wicked thing on the wall, rip it down and stuck it in the trash. Now, that's my feeling on it, and I'll leave it right there. But, I mean, be zealous for purity. Okay, I'm going to read another little story here. Left behind, don't take chances with sin. During the evacuation of American and British citizens from the doomed city of Rangoon when it fell to the Japanese, a tragic incident occurred. One of the last British passenger ships had been sent in and to take away as many as it could carry of the remaining citizens. As in such instances, the sailing hour was kept secret, but the passengers were told the hour when they must be aboard. After loading, the ship remained at the dock all night. One passenger the next morning thought of something he wanted to attend to back in the city and decided to return to take care of it, as he felt certain the ship would not leave early that day. It had been scheduled to sail hours before, and as it had not sailed, he thought it would not do for some hours to come. He asked certain of the officers when the ship would sail, but could get no satisfactory answer. All they told him was to remain on board. Against the protest of his wife and the advice of the ship officers, he disembarked and returned to the city. He had not been gone 30 minutes before the great vessel slowly and silently pulled away from the shore. There was his wife and her three little children on board, leaving the doomed city, and her husband left behind. The poor woman arrived in Calcutta without money and without any friends, without her companion. What became of him, we do not know. He didn't intend to be left behind. He just took a chance. Are you going to take a chance with fleshly lusts? May God help us to do what the Bible says. Abstain from fleshly lusts. Amen. Okay, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. We're still looking at New Year's revival, point 2 on to what we need to be separate from. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read a few verses here. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. We look at a few of these words. Uncleanness simply means moral impurity, defilement by sin, sinfulness. He's telling us here that this type of stuff shouldn't be once named among us. The next word says covetousness. Covetousness is a strong or inordinate desire of obtaining and possessing
some supposed good, usually in a bad sense, and applied to an inordinate desire of wealth or avarice. So he's telling us that covetousness should not be once named among us. Someone that has a desire, a strong desire that's out of order or that's not right for gaining lots of money and possessions. And neither filthiness means dirty, foul, unclean, polluted, morally impure. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting. A joke, something ludicrous, uttered or said, and meant only to excite laughter or make merry by words or actions. To utter in sport, to say what is not true merely for diversion. Whoa, that hits home. To say something just to make others laugh. He said it shouldn't be once named among us. To say things, to say what is not true merely for diversion. How about just kidding? Oh, I'm just kidding. How about saying, oh, I'm just lying? He says we shouldn't be doing these things. Not right. We shouldn't, when we talk, we should be being thankful. We'll be getting to that, our next point, what God's will is for us. Right now we're talking about things that we should be separate from. So, my, that's a mouthful. God does not want us to be talking just simply to fill time or to make others laugh. He wants us to be talking on something that will be profitable. I'll get on that more. How are we doing with this? Young people, all of us, how are we doing with this? I know I've been caught in that already. With the Lord's help, I want to do what God wants me to be. Okay. How about if we are supposed to destroy the evil pictures, how about destroying joking and kidding? Especially the kind where you make up a story just to make other people's mouth drop and then say, oh, I'm just kidding. That's not right. That's lying. Then he says, but instead giving of thanks, instead rather giving of thanks. Now we're going to get to our third point here. Get a little more encouraging here. We're going to talk about being separate unto. I felt a need to talk about the negative just simply because it's a needful thing to talk about. But this is really where my heart is to encourage us. What God's calling us to be separate unto, what He's wanting us to be. We're talking about New Year's revival. Number one, a peculiar people. God's desire for a special people. Number two is what He wants to be separate from. Number three, being separate unto. Let's turn over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 has a very good instruction. It says, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, those things we just talked about, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem unto Him us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. This is what God's heart is for us.
He wants a special people, zealous of good works. Instead of the wicked who are zealous for evil, God's calling us to be zealous unto good works. One of those good works is bearing one another's burdens that God's calling us to. Not good works for salvation, but good works that come forth from our heart toward of gratitude toward Christ. Ephesians 5, let's turn back there. I'm going to finish up the chapter we started in somewhat. Ephesians chapter 5. We were reading some of the negative parts there. And let's come in verse 9. It says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Skip down to verse 14. It says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life." Revival. New Year's revival. "Awake, thou that sleepest. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." He is now giving us instructions of what we are to do. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Pray and ask the Lord what you can do with your time to be the most fruitful for Him. "Redeeming the time. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord." Amen. Instead of joking and jesting, this is a wonderful alternative. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Verse 20, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." What a wonderful thing for young people to do when they're in a group after church or whenever. Just start saying everything you're thankful for. Take the rest of the afternoon. Think of what you're thankful for. Galatians chapter 5, a few more verses there. Chapter 5, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Wow. What a blessing. Such much better fruit than the negative list. How's your love doing? How's your joy doing when you face that hard trial? How's your long-suffering doing when a slow man pulls out in front of you? How's your gentleness doing toward your little son that wakes you up in the middle of the night, or daughter, or whatever? How's your goodness doing toward someone who chews you out? How's your faith doing towards God? How's your meekness doing when someone shows you an area in your life that needs some help? How's your meekness doing? How about your temperance with that big meal in front of you? Challenging thoughts. Okay. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians, a few concluding thoughts here. 1 Thessalonians, a few more instructions, what God's will is for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, coming in verse 14, says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." Some more instructions of what God's will is for His peculiar people. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. There we have it again. Giving thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. These are God's instructions for His holy people. In conclusion, I'm going to read a little thing here. It's called Honeybees. Be silent when anger stirs your heart. Don't speak the word that sends the dart or add a burden to some soul. Add to your faith that self-control. Be silent. Be patient when everything goes wrong and Satan tries to steal your song. Let the peace of God keep mind and heart and every needful grace impart. Be patient. Be circumspect in all your walk and chaste in all your thought and talk. You live not for yourself alone, but witness for the Lord you own. Be circumspect. Be kind when folks don't understand and friends misjudge you on every hand. Let your yieldedness be known, remembering that you're not your own. Be kind. Be partakers of the divine nature. May the Lord bless you. One last verse. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. May that be our testimony. Bless you.